I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. My name is Hardy. I will be here until 10 o'clock this morning. So we'll do an hour of the Sports Hub Golf Club, and then we'll do an hour of Hey, It's Hardy, a.k.a. Sports Hub Golf Club Wrap-Up Show, a.k.a. Opry Sports Hub Golf Club, a.k.a. Tucker, what do we call it? Twilight?
Mimosas in Twilight.
Mimosas I like because of the time of day, but it's after golf, so Twilight. Yeah, they're all good names, and here we are, second weekend. We haven't settled on one yet, but we'll start to figure that out at 9 a.m. But first, we begin with All Golf, and on the show today, a gentleman who is going to be very important to people here while retail businesses are able to open with curbside service and, more than the original essential businesses, even though golf courses were open, a lot of pro shops, a lot of places where you buy things to golf. If you needed things to get back out on the course and like, man, I'd love to go play, but I bent my putter over my knee last fall and I don't have another one. I don't know anybody who only has one putter. Out of all the clubs that I own more putters than anything. And I don't think I'm alone in that. But if you needed equipment of some kind or apparel or anything, golf shops are now able to be open. And this may not be across the board. This is why we're going to have our guest on, Vinny Mojica, who has been on the show before. We've done a lot of club equipment reviews with Vinny in years past, and looked at stuff at Golfers Warehouse, specifically the Braintree location. I was down there for actually doing some shop talk, shooting some segments with Golfing the World last week. But I spoke with Vinny and Mike there at Golfers Warehouse, and I said, Vinny, you got to come on the show. You got to tell people like how to get their stuff, what stuff is selling, what things people aren't thinking about, because you just can't run into, as far as I know, and the golf courses I've been to, you can't run into the pro shop and pick up, oh, yeah, that's right, I need an extra sleeve. I need tees, I need a towel, whatever it is, you can't do that. So what people should be thinking about as they head out and figure out, there are some items that are of particular interest to golfers these days, push carts among them. We'll see if Golfers Warehouse has any ideas on that front. So that'll be coming up a little after 8:30. But as I was just speaking with Joe and Dan there, as the DraftKings show wrapped up there, I wanted to start by recapping the match, which a lot of us ended up watching last Sunday. And I thought, I had the bar set pretty low for the match, based on what I saw the week before in the TaylorMade driving relief, which I thought was a little disappointing in terms of the presentation and in terms of the actual content. And this is what we've been left with, I think, a lot during this the pandemic is, of course, it's not important with what people are going through out there. But if you're healthy and you're stuck inside and you're just looking to kill a couple few hours, we've been subjected to, let's face it, some bad entertainment. I myself am getting sick of watching TV altogether, and I will go. Today is a good example. I would imagine that after the show today and the other things I have to do, this is a good day for me to just not look at a television at all until much, much, much later tonight. But sometimes when we do, it just hasn't been all that good. You know, the NFL draft, with all the things that they're doing virtually and trying to pull stuff off, it just ends up being bad TV. And I thought Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy and Matt Wolf and Dustin Johnson all presented themselves pretty well, but they're not entertainers in the strict sense of the word. They're golfers. And when you put them on screen for 4 hours plus, and they're supposed to be entertaining, that's a lot to ask of those guys. And it just didn't end up being all that entertaining. So were you entertained by the match? Feel free to chime in on this, too. 617-779-0985. After setting the bar low, based on other TV that I've watched, and the match that was on the weekend before, which surprisingly to me, a lot of people didn't even know was on. And they just didn't know about it, didn't care about it. But a lot of people knew and cared about this and watched it. I think for the most part, people were entertained. I know that Joe just said he was bored by it until Tom Brady made that putt. But, you know, once they got going, once they stopped hitting balls and the rain let up and they got the first tee jitters out of the way, I thought they settled into a pretty good rhythm. And I also thought that the format, which I was opposed to, just doing a straight-up two-on-two match with, you know, them playing a best ball for the first nine holes and then the modified alternate shot for the back nine, wasn't going to hold my interest. I would have much rather seen them go, you know, six holes, change up the teams, six holes, change up the teams, and have each guy partner with each other guy. It ended up being fine. It was fine. And it was, I found myself in a weird place because between Tiger and Phil, what can I say? I think you're either a Tiger Woods guy at this point or you're not. And I'm a Tiger Woods guy. And I found myself rooting for Tiger. I found myself rooting for the team with Peyton Manning. How's that? That's what put me in a weird position because I wanted them to do well and play well because of Tiger. And they did. My first takeaway from the match in terms of the golf was, wow, did Tiger look good? Now it's his home course. I understand that. But you still have to get out there and you have to find the fairways and you have to find the greens. And he did all that. His swing was smooth and he did whatever he did to keep the ball in play and to, you know, essentially they were never out of a hole. There were a couple of times when Phil and Tom, they were essentially out of the hole. That never happened. Now, having said that, Phil and Tom made it a match at the end, and that's what made it compelling. Tiger and Peyton didn't run away with it. They weren't up five holes with six to play, and you're just wondering, oh, boy, this is going to end early. How are they going to kill the rest of this time? It didn't work like that. It came down to the final hole. The final hole was halved, so Tiger and Peyton end up winning it one up, and it was not only entertaining, but it gave you just enough personality from these guys to make it entertaining from just a casual fan standpoint, too. And there wasn't a ton. For people expecting to see a whole lot of jawing back and forth between Tiger and Phil, well, maybe you don't know Tiger and Phil all that well. And between Peyton and Tom Brady, I think we know Tom Brady well enough now to know that, you know, an upstanding individual for sure. And by all indications, a great trash talker on the football field. But in that setting, he was okay. It was fine. Peyton Manning probably came across as the most entertaining guy away from the golf. And I would also say the second most impressive in terms of his game. Like, these guys put themselves out there as 6.2, I think Peyton Manning listed his index at. And Tom Brady, allegedly, an 8.1. More on that in a moment. But Peyton Manning played to what I've got a buddy out in Las Vegas. His name is Carl. And Carl is the most unremarkable 6 handicap you'll ever play with in your life. But he finds the fairways. He hits the ball up onto or just in front of the green, keeps the ball below the hole. He's got a very compact, upright chipping stroke that he uses to keep the ball down low, running toward the green, and he'll go out there and shoot the most unremarkable 79, 80, occasionally a 78, 77 that you've ever seen in your life. And that's what Peyton Manning's game reminded me of. Guy keeps the ball in play, makes solid contact, good short game. Certainly helped that he had Tiger Woods helping him read the putts on Tiger's home course. But Peyton Manning impressed me the second most out of all four golfers in the match. We'll get to the other two and the guys on the other side. I want to take a call here first here. We'll go to Kevin in Douglas. Kevin, what did you think of the match?
Hello?
Yeah, Kevin, you're with me. What do you got?
Hey, so the first 20 minutes of the match I thought was just absolutely cringeworthy. Like, I felt so awkward sitting there watching Tom Brady just shank balls, because I'm that same way. The first ball off the tee is just an absolute shank, and it sucks. But after that, I was super stoked. It was really good.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you. I'm going to save my Tom Brady commentary and some of the Phil Mickelson stuff for just a moment from now. We'll step aside for a moment. But cringeworthy in that we've all been there. We've all been there. If you play the game, I think Tom Brady had one of those days where you just want to leave. We'll talk about it next as we continue here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Feel free to join in here as we wrap up the match from last weekend. 617-779-0985.
Constantly hitting it from the rough. This is the show for you. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club, 617-779-0985. All right, let's get to the other team in the match that we watched last weekend. Of course, it was Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning, who were victorious over Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. We'll start with Phil. Phil presented himself, I think, in a way that kind of explains how a lot of people have felt about Phil for years. Phil Mickelson is one of these guys who will make it onto when they do surveys of fans' favorite golfers. You know, like who are the friendliest, who takes the most time, who signs the most autographs, who spends time talking with people. And Phil is one, you know, at the top of the list because Phil loves to talk. All right. Plenty of people in my profession, myself included, that can respect that. I get it. I understand. But, you know, Phil's that guy where, you know, I don't even know if Tom Brady was asking him for the read. And I wouldn't, if I were Tom in that position, you've got either Phil or Tiger out there reading your putts for you. I'm of the mindset, yeah, tell me everything. That's fine. You know, if I'm playing with a good player who's also not afraid to give a tip now and then, I'm like, don't think you're going to insult me by telling me that I'm, you know, lifting my head at the end of the swing, or that I appeared to have, it looks like I'm closing the club face. Hell, Maz has told me that before when he and I have been playing together. Maz is a good player. Maz told me once, it's like, Hardy, you're kind of closing the club face, you know, right before you take the club head back. It's this weird little move you're doing with your hands. So I'm not opposed to getting tips like that. The issue is when Phil gives you the line on a putt, it takes forever. He gives you four paragraphs. You know, he's telling you about the, you know, the different colors of the grass and how it looks like shadow, but don't be fooled. It looks like maybe they just put a little extra lime down here on this part of the green, and the grain is running this way. You know, when Tiger was doing the same thing for Tom, it seemed like he was just pointing at a spot on the green, or Tiger was doing it for Peyton, I should say. He was pointing at a spot on the green, and what percentage? 95, 105, whatever. You know, just in terms of a flat putt, you know, you need to take 5% off, 10% off, add 10% more, it's a little uphill, and that's it. Pull the trigger. There's your line. That's the speed. Go. Phil can be a bit much. And, you know, but it was fun. You know, I don't think Phil's a bad guy, other than maybe, you know, not coming to the defense of his gambling buddy, who's now in federal prison. Other than that, and the insider stock trading that he got away with, other than that, Phil Mickelson doesn't appear to be a bad person. It's just, I think he gets on people's nerves. And that's why, you know, fans tend to love him. Other pros find him to be just a tiny bit insufferable. That's all. This is fine, though. And his game, I think Phil played well. The par four that he drove, he picked the line and he put it right there. I mean, he called it. It was awesome. And Phil can, you know, absolutely still play. That's the good thing about watching Tiger and Phil these days is neither one of them have lost their games. Their games have changed a little bit, Tiger's especially. But, man, those guys are still at very close to the top of their games or as good or better than a lot of pros will ever be. As for Tom Brady, I said it a couple of minutes ago, and I want to preface all this by saying I've been there. I was there at a media day for the U.S. Senior Open at Salem Country Club, and I was out there playing with there was a member from Salem, a woman who had been the club champion, and she was a very, very good player. Another media member and one of the tournament directors. And I had a day where I was hitting it sideways. I mean, I was shanking hybrids off the tee. I don't know. It was also one of those days I was all amped up. I was playing Salem Country Club, and I did the worst thing you can do. I cleaned the clubs the night before. I emptied out the bag and restocked it with every, oh, I've got tees here. I've got extra ball markers here. I'm going to have everything over here. I'm going to have my extra glove in this pocket. Worst. Don't you play your worst rounds when you're all amped up like that and you want to get everything ready the night before? But I wanted to leave the golf course. Forget nine holes. I knew I didn't have it after six. And I finally turned it around by about the 14th hole, but it wasn't enough. I mean, I just wanted out of there. And I think Tom Brady probably felt the same way until he hit that approach on seven. Now, watching Tom Brady spray tee shot to the right time and time again, it makes me wonder if he is still a legit 8.2 index. I think he was either 8.1 or 8.2 is what he was listed at for the start of the match. I spoke with somebody this week who's played with Tom Brady, and he said, oh, he's legit. He is that good. And his swing, for the most part, does look to be one of somebody who could play to an 8-something. But he wasn't on Sunday, and quite frankly, an 8 handicap, the 8 handicaps that I've played with generally don't slice the ball, A, and B, if they do, that's a relatively easy fix for a good player. If you get a case of the snap hooks and you can't figure that out, that's something different. And I know a lot of guys who struggle with that. Hell, Tiger Woods struggled with that, and that's what Hank Haney wrote about in the book The Big Miss, where Tiger Woods changed his swing because as the best golfer in the world and in my estimation, the greatest of all time, was still worried that he was going to snap hook his tee shots often enough to where he changed his swing to where he could play that cut shot and keep the ball in play more consistently. But a slice? You're talking to an 8 handicap is slicing the ball off the tee? Never mind with a 3-wood. Brady didn't hit driver. How many 8 handicaps do you know are afraid of hitting driver? Chalk it up to he's spending more time with his family. Chalk it up to he's been focused on football for the last 6 months. Chalk it up to he hasn't been able to get out and play because of the pandemic. Whatever the case may be, what I saw from Tom Brady, good looking swing, awful results, and not the results you would expect from someone who is any kind of a single-digit handicap. I don't believe it. Not saying he's lying. I'm just saying that he hasn't posted many scores lately, if that's what he's still playing to, or he hasn't worked on his game enough. And there, trust me, there are plenty of people like that, too. They get their index established. That's what, you know, that's what they're on the board as, and it just stays there regardless. If their game falls apart, they just don't change it. So maybe that's what happened with Tom. I will say this, though. The shot that he holed out from over 100 yards in the middle of the fairway on the seventh hole, that was a golf shot. That ball had action on it. I mean, he compressed that ball against the turf. That thing hit the green. That spun back. That found the hole. Going in the hole is equal parts luck as anything else. But even if it didn't go in the hole, that was a golf shot. Some of the tee shots he hit on the par threes, including the last one, golf shot. And what I found to be as impressive as any of it was the eagle putt that he made after Phil Mickelson drove the green on the par four. Look, you can say what you want about Phil Mickelson giving him the read and telling him where to hit it and how hard to hit it, but you're still putting for eagle after you have stunk it up for the first half of this match, and now you have a chance to win the hole for your team, and you step up there. You still got to pull the trigger on the putt. It's what we say about caddies all the time, you know? Also, what if they're helping with reading the greens and someone else still has to roll the putts? Tom Brady rolled that putt, that eagle putt from off the green like that. That was as impressive as anything else. So I will put 90% up to he had a bad day. Not to mention the fact he admitted to playing 18. Did he play 18 that morning? I think he played 18 in the morning. Then, as was described on the broadcast, he was out there doing wind sprints and jumping jacks in the parking lot. And then he goes out and plays. Maybe he was a little tuckered out. What are you doing? You want to squeeze in nine before your big match in the afternoon? Okay. You want to go hit some balls and maybe stretch out a little bit? Sure, of course you do. Why not? You're going to play 18, and then you're going to work out, and then you're going to go hit more balls, and then you're going to go play your huge $20 million golf match in front of a captive audience the world over? Tom, you peaked too soon. I don't know what you were thinking. The 18 in the morning, the exercise, the CrossFit in the parking lot, all ahead of the biggest match you're ever going to play in front of people. Maybe a bit did a bit too much. So, all right, 90%, he had a bad day. He worked out too much. He did all that. But I'm going to allow for 10%. He's not an actual 8-something anymore. It didn't look like that. Still a good looking swing. That's how much I know. I mean, I saw him on the first tee. It's just, you can tell a lot by somebody in their practice swings. I'm like, oh, that's pretty smooth. That's pretty silky. It looks pretty good to me. But the results are what matter. And the results for most of that match for Tom Brady were not good. I would have liked to have seen more from the Charles Barkley bogey challenge. They kind of threw that in at the end. I think the match went longer than they had anticipated, and I would have liked to have seen more from Charles trying to play that hole. I'll tell you what, as bad as he wasn't as bad as I thought he was going to be. The famous hitch in Barkley's swing didn't appear to be there. He got it off the tee. He managed to get it on the green and give himself at least a very makeable putt to make bogey. He didn't make it, so I guess some people were satisfied with that, but I, as crazy as it sounds, I thought Barkley would have been worse than that. I thought for Barkley, you know, a double bogey for Barkley on that hole under pressure, it's probably a decent score. So, and he almost made the bogey putt. So I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more than that, but I think they ran out of time. All right. If you are heading out this weekend or you've been playing and you are running low on supplies, you can finally buy some stuff and you don't have to wait for it to get shipped to you. You can actually go to a store and buy it. Maybe not all of them, maybe not everywhere, but one guy I know where you can do it, or one place I know where you can do it, is Golfers Warehouse in Braintree. We'll talk with Vinny Mojica from Golfers Warehouse coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. The Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Vinny Mojica from Golfers Warehouse in Braintree. Vinny, what's up, buddy?
Not much, Hardy. Good morning. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Good to see you a couple of days ago. We were in there shooting some segments for the Shop Talk segment on Golfing the World, even though I don't get to travel the world with those guys much these days. But it was good to see you again. And even though the store in and of itself is not necessarily open, you guys are still open, correct? I mean, first things first, is Golfers Warehouse in Braintree open?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're doing curbside pickup at the moment. And the best way to do that is to call the store directly. It's 781-848-9777. So with the curbside beforehand, I would recommend doing a little bit of research, going to our website, which is worldwidegolfshops.com, and then give us a call. We'll confirm that we have it in stock, put the order together, and when you get to the parking lot, give us a call, run it out to the car. And it's new for us, it's new for the consumer, but we've been doing it for the last week, and it's been pretty smooth.
Yeah, you guys are, you know, like kind of making this up as you go, as a lot of people are. But what's the turnaround like? You know, I got a tee time at noon, and I need a dozen rocks. Would I be able to place an order at, I don't know, 10 a.m. and pick it up at 11 on my way to the course?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's been going really smooth. So, I mean, you can call and, you know, if it's something small like balls and stuff like that, you can get there in 10 minutes and, you know, we'll have it ready for you.
Okay. What? So this started last week for you guys.
We started on Monday.
Okay. In accordance with the phasing for reopening. What's been selling? Did you think obviously people are going to need this? And what has surprised you in terms of what has been selling this first week?
Well, comfortable shoes and push carts have been on the top of that list.
Yeah.
You got a lot more people, you know, walking golf courses that, you know, are not used to walking and realizing that their shoes are not as comfortable as they thought. And their golf bag is heavier than they imagined.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that. So like either, you know, carry bags or push carts, comfortable shoes, which I always have in the first place. And I did my whole like shoe shopping for shoes like middle of last season. You know, and if you get decent shoes, I mean, I've had a pair of Echoes that have lasted me for years now, and they're still comfortable. But, you know, look, if as most golfers are of this mindset, you know, what's the point of having one of anything? You know, we need multiple, you know.
So, my trunk is full with golf shoes.
Yeah, well, I'm not full, but I have a few pair, and I ended up buying a pair that, you know, great ratings, all this stuff. They were supposed to be I walked in them, just the way it creased, I didn't like it, so I ended up with some Pumas that were great. And sure. So, yeah, there may be a little trial and error there, but, yeah, the carts, that's a huge one. I've heard people talking about this. Now, I've owned a push cart that I bought years ago, and I don't use it all that often because generally I like to walk. But I generally, if I'm walking, I'm walking 9, but mm-hmm. I can walk it. I can walk and carry 18. That's doesn't necessarily bother me. I've used the cart on occasion, and I've already got one. So I felt like, okay, in fact, I've offered it up to buddies who said, I can't find one. Do you guys have push carts right now?
Fortunately, we do. And in an unfortunate way, the reason we have them is because we've been closed.
Okay.
But they're sold out across the country. I mean, they've become the new toilet paper, where you just can't, you can't find them anywhere.
Are people hoarding them? Are people trying to buy like 5 at a time?
We've had, you know, people, you know, order 2 or 3 for their buddies. It's been, you know, it's been a hot item for sure.
Okay.
Because they're not that available, but, we still have a pretty good selection. And our stock is pretty good.
Okay, so the push carts, in case people have not used one or seen one recently, and let's face it, mm-hmm. a lot, you know, most people are riding these days. People like to ride when they play golf. I get it. I'm not you know, hating on that idea. That's fine. But the idea of a push cart is so abhorrent to some people because, well, number one, they think it's like an old school rickety aluminum pull cart, which is not what it is.
Not and anymore. No.
No. The push carts today, they are phenomenal. And there's all kinds of like extra gadgets on them. I think the click gear is the one that has all the interchangeable things on it that you can add or take off. Is that right?
Yeah, they make a lot of different accessories that that click directly onto the cart, like cup holders and brushes and stuff like that. But overall, you know, the way that they compact and the lightweight structure that they have now, it's almost like pushing a carriage at a grocery store. It's, you know, it's really effortless. It's instead of pulling, now you're pushing, and it's. Yeah, it just makes it makes the experience a whole lot better.
Yeah, and I know I saw in there the other day you got the Bag Boy in there, you've got the Click Gear, you've got a few different models, a decent amount of stock, and I was surprised. I mean, I thought just based on supply and demand and how nice these things look, they were going to set you back, I don't know, $500 or something, but they're not that much, are they?
No, they range from about 200 to 250.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that, you know, it's something that was a trend before all this even started. I noticed over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, you know, electric carts, you know, the price goes up every year. And I think overall people are just more health conscious, you know, so they want to get a little workout while they're playing golf. So, you know, push cart sales have gone up over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years in a major way.
Well, they're so much cooler looking now, too. You know, you don't feel like that guy, like, you know, lugging a pull cart around in this, you know, rickety looking thing. It's no, I mean, they're pretty cool. They're very functional. They all have the brakes on them, so you can park them on a hill and your clubs aren't going to roll away from you. They have the 3-wheel options, 4-wheel options. Yeah, they're pretty. All right, so you've got those. It's Vinny Mojica here, Golfers Warehouse in Braintree. People buying clubs right now? I mean, I know you guys and I have for years said, no, you got to get fit. Don't go buy a driver. Don't get irons without getting fit. But I imagine people are still buying them anyway. Just because, nope, that's what I want. I want the new Callaway or I want the new TaylorMade. It doesn't matter. Are people buying them right now?
Yes. Yeah. And the thing about that is I agree. You know, you want to try it before you buy it. The thing that we have here, we have a 90-day satisfaction guarantee. So anything that you buy here, you have 90 days to go play with it. If you don't like it for whatever reason, you bring it back for full store credit. So it kind of, it's a little bit of insurance. So, you know, if you're on the fence between the TaylorMade Sim and the Callaway Maverick, you know, do a little research, go with the one that you think is the best. And then if it's not, you bring it back and swap it out.
All right. Very good. Vinny Mojica, Golfers Warehouse in Braintree. Now, should anything go wrong with any of these items? Are you guys available for like a phone or a FaceTime consultation? Like, let's say I get one of these carts and I can't figure out how to unfold it. Are you going to help me out?
Absolutely. Just give me a call.
I'm not going to give out your cell number to anybody. Don't worry. Just call the store. All right, Vinny. Hey, listen, once you guys are open again, can I come in for I think you and I talked about this before. Can I come in for a wedge fitting? Because I've been fit for irons. I've been fit for a driver. Two things I've never been fit for. A putter, which I'm sorry. Unless my putting game goes to absolute hell, as opposed to just the hell that it is, I'm fine with my putter. But I think I need to get fit. I need new wedges, and I think I should probably get fit for them because it can't be my bad swing that's causing me to either scull them or lay the sod over them. I think maybe the bounce on the wedges is wrong. Do you guys do that?
Absolutely. You're talking to the right guy. I love talking wedges.
Okay.
Bounce, grind. You know, and like, for example, like CBX, Cleveland CBX 2 wedge is like a cavity back game improvement wedge.
Yeah.
So there's different options out there for, you know, playing levels. It's not just like the same wedge for everybody like it's been in the past. So yeah, we can get you dialed in.
All right. Love it. Vinny, always good to talk to you. Good to see you the other day. And hopefully you'll be open up again soon so people can actually walk through and see all this stuff. But in the meantime, curbside available there at Golfers Warehouse in Braintree. Vinny Mojica, thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, Hardy. Take care, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you. All right, we're going to step aside. We're going to come back. A couple of stories, including another documentary in the works. No, it's not a Michael Jordan. It's not the Tom Brady one. It's a golf-related one. Could be really, really good. I'll tell you what it is coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Consider us your radio caddy, the Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
Back on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Thanks for being with me on this Saturday morning, 617-779-0985. A new documentary coming out on the heels of The Last Dance and the Lance Armstrong 30 for 30, which I have not viewed yet. That kind of got kiboshed for me after I missed the initial airing, and I had recorded it, and then I saw reviews which were not favorable. So I might tap out on that one. I'm still looking forward to the Bruce Lee documentary. And then there's another one, I guess, about the home run chase with McGuire and Sosa. That should be good. This one, though, golf specific. Look for this in November. An HBO documentary on Tiger Woods. Now, this is according to Adam Shupak from Golf Week. According to him, Armin Katayan and Jeff Benedict wrote a book called Tiger Woods, which was a New York Times number one best-selling book. And they apparently know all about this project, and he talked about it, and he said, don't be surprised if it airs right around the Masters in November. They also said that a lot of people who didn't participate in the book for whatever reason went ahead and said, yeah, they'd be a part of this four-hour documentary, two parts, 2 hours. And they said, all right, I don't want to go on record in the book, but I'll sit down on camera and talk about it a little bit more. Katayan said, it's a fabulous job. He said, my lips are sealed, but he's watched the final 2 hours, and he's apparently it's all ready to go. It's all ready to go. But they're gonna hold on to it until Masters Week in November. Once again, Tiger Woods documentary. Now, I don't need to see footage of a young Tiger Woods on the Mike Douglas show. I don't necessarily need to see all the back and forth between him and his father, Earl Woods, winning the match. I just watched that. I just rewatched the final round of the 97 Masters a few weeks ago, you know, when the lockdown first started. You know, I've seen that. What do we really want to see? I mean, and maybe it'll be okay. I mean, I said this at the beginning of Jordan's thing. I really wanted to see them get into, I know it was about the final season with the Bulls, but if they're going to go back and they're going to examine things, I wanted to see those early battles with the Pistons. Got it. I wanted to see some of the dirtier untold stuff, some of the back and forth stuff with Isaiah Thomas and the Dream Team. For the most part, got it. I want them really to get into his gambling and why he stepped away from the game. Kind of got it. A little bit got it, I think. A little. Not as much as we would have liked, but it was still really, really good. So with regard to a Tiger Woods HBO documentary, what do we want? I think just the curious person in all of us wants to see a little bit more about the meltdown, about the breakdown, about everything and how it all came crashing down. If Tiger Woods is participating in this and he is as involved as Michael Jordan was in his, I don't know that we're going to get a whole lot of it. But I think that it's an integral part of the story. You have to tell that part of the story if you're doing a docuseries on Tiger Woods. And something that he's been much more open about recently, and I think they will get into and should get into, is the fact that his training methods pretty much ruined him. I mean, obviously he's made it back. He was well enough to win the Masters last year, but the knee issues and the back issues and the injuries and the surgeries that he's needed to have, Tiger Woods, when asked here recently, what's the one thing he would go back and change? He said, I wouldn't go on long runs wearing combat boots. I mean, Tiger Woods idolized his father. He wanted to be like him. He wanted to train as a Navy SEAL, but he wasn't going to be a Navy SEAL. And quite frankly, training as a Navy SEAL is probably not the best idea if your job is to not be a Navy SEAL. If your job is to be a golfer, don't go on 10-mile runs in Army boots, which is what he was doing. Hank Haney wrote about it in his book. He was doing weight training that wasn't necessarily the best idea for somebody who, you know, needs full mobility and pliability, to borrow from the TB12 method. But that's what he was doing. And Tiger Woods has admitted recently, at least one of those things, he would change. He would not do that again. So I don't know if they're going to get into that. What else would you like to see in a Tiger Woods documentary? Could debut around Masters Week in November. What's the one part of the Tiger Woods story you haven't heard enough about, you want to get more on and find out more about? 617-779-0985. We can continue with the golf talk. It's fine. I mean, the officially, the Sports Hub Golf Club ends in about another 30 seconds here, and then we get into the Hey, It's Hardy show. But we can continue talking about that, the upcoming Tiger Woods documentary. We can talk about some of the storylines that people are looking forward to when the PGA Tour returns. Now, it is coming back June 11th in Fort Worth. Just a few days ago, the governor in Texas said, yeah, you can have people outdoors at sporting events, or we're going to limit it 25% capacity. But, yeah, not only can professional sports resume, but you can have people in attendance. PGA Tour has already said, no, there's not going to be anybody in attendance here. But there are other things to look forward to when professional golf resumes here in another couple of weeks. So we'll take a look at that. And we'll continue with the Tiger Woods. Anything else you want to talk about? Coming up here, 90 seconds, no commercials, just the headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.